Christmas time is the season of goodwill and peace on earth to men. When you actually read the Christmas story, the narrative of that first Christmas account, you find that far from peace, there's a lot of frightened people. You ever notice how many people are frightened at Christmas time in the Bible? So let's just think about a couple of them. You've got Joseph, haven't you? Now, Joseph must be pretty frightened because he's found out that his fiancée, Mary, is pregnant. Now, both Joseph and Mary are probably only in their teenage years. So we've got a teenage pregnancy situation on our hands here. That's pretty frightening in and of itself. But here's Joseph. Mary's pregnant, and he's not even the father. And he's now concerned as to whether or not he should continue with the engagement and the marriage. And he's frightened. He's concerned for himself, doubtless for his family, doubtless for Mary as well. And the angel comes. You remember in Matthew, we read that the angel came and visited Joseph in a dream and said to Joseph, "Don't be frightened. Take Mary to be your wife." But he was pretty frightened. And then you've got Mary herself, this young teenage girl, pregnant, as I say, frightening thing for a teenage girl to be. She's also found out that she's not just pregnant, she's pregnant with the Son of God. I don't think they have antenatal classes to prepare you for that. That is pretty major news. How am I going to keep myself well? How am I going to keep myself healthy? This is big stuff. How frightened must she have been? But also she's frightened because, of course, she knows that Joseph is probably going to break up with her. And that's going to cause a lot of disgrace to him and to her. And she faces the prospect now of being a single mum in a pretty difficult place to be a single mum. She is frightened. Think of another person who was frightened at Christmas time. Do you remember Zechariah in Luke chapter 1? You know, of all the people who shouldn't have been frightened, Zechariah was probably the one. He was a priest, and it was given to him by lot to go into the most holy place. He was a priest, and he would have known about all the prophecies. He would have been looking out for the Messiah to come. But an angel shows up to Zechariah and speaks to him, and it says that he was frightened. So there's a lot of frightened people around at Christmas time. And we read, and we're going to just look briefly this morning at some more frightened people. These shepherds out in their field keeping watch over the flock by night. They're a pretty frightened bunch of people, aren't they? I don't know whether you find yourself frightened. Maybe you know people who are just constantly frightened people. They're always anxious. They're always on the lookout. They're always nervous. They're always a bit twitchy. Maybe they don't sleep at night. Maybe they have to dose themselves up with herbal remedies or with sleeping tablets because they're just anxious people. They're frightened people. The adrenaline's always going. We have this response, don't we, as human beings, when we're frightened. Have you heard of it? Flight or fright. Flight or fright. In other words, when we're frightened of something, we tend to either want to run away in fear or run towards the things that are frightening us so that we can fight it. Fight or flight is what it's called. It's a mouthful, isn't it? But are you frightened? I wonder if you're frightened. Maybe you're frightened about the Christian message. Maybe you're frightened of the truth about Jesus. Maybe you don't really know how to respond to it. Maybe you're not a Christian and you come into this place week by week and you've just got a lot of questions, you've got a lot of anxieties, a lot of hang-ups with Jesus, with the whole Christian thing. Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe like Zechariah, you are a seasoned Christian. You're an experienced Christian. And God is speaking to you and you don't know how to respond. You don't quite know what to do in the midst of your circumstances. Well, let's see if we can learn some things this morning from these shepherds. These shepherds, well, their job was an anxious one. They would have been out in their field and they would have been that kind of frightened people. They were constantly on the lookout. This is no picnic, being a shepherd in the Middle East. They weren't sort of, you know, by a campfire, just chilling out, doing all this sort of thing. They were Did you notice it says keeping watch over their flocks by night? So it's nighttime, it's dark, it's cold. It's a frightening place to be. So here are these shepherds, they're on lookout for all sorts of things, aren't they? Wild animals to come and to get their sheep. Robbers, thieves, just generally bad people. I have this picture of these few shepherds out in this field, nervous, looking around, always alert, always on guard. They are worried people. They're keeping watch over their flock by night, it says there in verse 8. And then we're told in verse 9 that an angel of the Lord appears to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Now, I don't know whether the angel was kind of hovering a few feet in the sky or whether the angel just was there suddenly in the midst of the field and the sheep. And they've missed it. They're keeping watch. But how did that thing, this angel with this glory shining, how did he get it? How did he pass us? How has he just suddenly appeared? Can you imagine now how frightened they must be? Because this isn't just a robber. This is an angel, a senior angel, probably, of the Lord, come from heaven. And he's there. The glory of God is shining all around them. They're already frightened. They're already keeping watch over their flocks by night. But it says then that they were filled with fear. If they weren't already frightened, they are frightened now that this angel, bright and glorious, has shown up right in their midst. They're filled with fear. You probably would be too, wouldn't you, if an angel of the Lord appeared in your midst? And particularly if you were already on tenterhooks because you were a bit anxious and twitchy, suddenly there is an angel. Scary stuff, right? How are they going to react? Are they going to run away in fear, flight? Or are they going to try and run towards this angel to fight it? Fight or flight? They need to get this thing out because it's a threat to the sheep. I mean, can you imagine how the sheep must be? They must have been a bit freaked out by the whole thing as well. Will they look away in fear, flight, or will they look towards to fight? They're the two responses naturally that come to human beings when we're frightened. To run away or to move toward to fight. I want to tell you this morning that God gives us a third option when we're frightened. Actually, God gives us a third option in all of the circumstances of our life. Rather than running away from or running toward to fight, the third option is that we in our circumstances look upward to worship and to wonder at who God is. Actually, when God shows up, when he gets our attention, that is the only option, isn't it? That is the only option. In the midst of our circumstances, whether they're fearful or not, in the midst of our circumstances, the only option when God shows up, the only option when God speaks to us, is to stop and to worship and to wonder. I want to just say to you this morning that in your circumstances, whatever they are this Christmas Eve, whatever tomorrow holds for you, whatever the future, whatever 2018 is looking like for you, let God speak to you. Become a worshiper of Almighty God. You don't need to run away. You don't need to fight. You can look up in worship and in wonder. You know, to surrender yourself to this God, to surrender yourself in your circumstances is okay. It's okay. It's good to do that, to stop and to listen. You see, the angels have no choice but to stop and to listen. It's unlikely that they're going to run towards this angel and try and fight him. But also, they're kind of gripped now. They're not going to run away in fear. They're going to listen. Look at the first thing that the angel says. He's come. He's a messenger of God. He's come with a message from Almighty God. This is what I mean about it being okay to surrender yourself to God in the midst of fear or your circumstances of life. Because the angel says to them, fear not. Fear not. That's what the word of God says to you and me this morning in the midst of our circumstances. Whatever they may be, fear not. Don't be frightened. Don't worry. You don't have to run away. You don't have to fight. You can worship instead. Fear not. What wonderful reassurance from God for those shepherds. Let me say this, those shepherds weren't going to get reassurance from anywhere else. Those shepherds were low life. Shepherds in that part of the country at that point in history were the rejects, if you like. If you had nothing else, you went to be a shepherd. They weren't religious people. They wouldn't have been able to get to the temple really to worship. They wouldn't have been able to sacrifice an animal because they were the ones that were charged with looking after the animal. So they weren't thought of highly in religious circles. They weren't thought of highly by society. If they witnessed a crime, their testimony was not valid in a court of law. They would have had no education. They may even have been pagan people, Gentile people. The job that no one else wanted to do was their job, their lot. It fell to them. No one was going to help them in their fear and in their circumstances. They're low life. They're nothing, these shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, pretty frightened, pretty scared. And now an angel standing in their midst. And the angel says to these lowest of the low people, fear not, fear not. What wonderful reassurance from God. Friends, if you're running away from God, perhaps you are this morning, perhaps you're trying to run away from God like Jonah did, or maybe you're running towards God with questions and you just want to fight him and you want to fight his plans and you want to try and deny him and squash him and bury him. You're running toward him, but it's because you're frightened, or you're running away because you're frightened. Let me suggest this to you, that actually it's just an acknowledgement that really deep in our hearts we understand that actually God is in our natural state, God is against us, and that we should fear him, as in we should be frightened to death of him in our natural state of sin and rebellion against him. The Bible says, doesn't it, that it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But worshippers don't fear God. Why should a worshipper not fear God? And I want you just to bear in mind for a minute that these shepherds aren't worshippers of God yet. They're low life. They're nobodies. They're probably pagans. They're not worshippers yet, but God's got their attention now. God's word is coming to them now, and they will be worshippers imminently. Why should a worshipper not fear God? Well, because of the gospel. Because of what God says to those who will just listen, who will stop running away or who will stop being frightened and want to fight, but will look up and worship him. Look at what the angel says, fear not. Why should I not fear? There's an angel, you're there. Why should I not fear? Well, here's the message. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Worshippers know good news of great joy. Joy, what's joy? That's surely the exact opposite of fear, isn't it? That will be for all people. Well, all people? Even first century shepherds? Yeah. Even shepherds. Even non-Jews. Even non-God-fearers. This is good news for you this morning. But we need a bit of substance to these claims of good news, great joy for all people, don't we? We need a bit of substance to these claims if we're going to become worshippers. We can't put our faith in just good news. We can't put our faith just in great joy because we cannot worship good news. We might try to. We cannot worship joy. We might try to, but we can't. We can't. So the object of our faith must be something more substantial than just good news of great joy for all people. Look at verse 11. The angel goes on and tells them why they don't need to fear. He tells them about this good news, what it is, and the great joy that is theirs, that's for all people. He says in verse 11, here's another reason to go on digging into this and to worship. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. That's the message That's the good news of great joy. Notice at this point there's no reference to a baby in a manger. The only reference that you've got so far, the only reference the shepherds have got so far, is a reference to who God is. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Unto you, shepherds, unto you, lowlife, unto you, insignificant people, unto you, whoever you are, is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Do you remember after the angel had shown up to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, we're told by the writer there, by Matthew, that the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel in order to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. And then there's this lovely little parenthesis, these brackets at the end of that, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, brackets, by the way, which means God with us. You need to hear me here, whoever you are, whether you're a believer or not a believer this morning, you need to hear me. God is no longer against us and therefore to be feared. He is no longer somebody to be frightened of. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us and therefore to be worshipped as Saviour, Christ and Lord. And then in verse 12, the reference to the baby comes. This shall be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Good news of great joy for all people. Saviour, Christ and Lord. And here's the sign. Here's how you will know that what I'm saying is true. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. But I still want to know how these shepherds are going to respond. Are they going to run away? Are they going to hear this and go, no, we definitely need to fight this angel because this angel is just getting weirder? Or are they going to heed the message and look up in worship and in wonder? I mentioned at the start, didn't I, that there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of frightened people in the Christmas story that first Christmas time. It's interesting to see how these other characters of the Christmas story react upon seeing an angel. Joseph, we read in Matthew 1:24, obeys what the angel says. Mary, we read, worships out of her fear. Joseph obeys out of his fear. But what about Zechariah? Do you remember Zechariah? He questioned the angel. He moved toward the angel. He moved towards God's word in fear. He wanted to fight the message, didn't he? How will I know these things? Question, question, question. That's a very common response amongst people today, both unbelievers and believers alike. I'm going to run toward to fight this message. Maybe this morning you'd like to come up and fight me because of the message that I'm giving. Maybe you want to come up and argue. Maybe you want to get in my face and tell me that it's a load of rubbish, this stuff that you keep spouting out about Jesus and good news and Saviour and Christ and Lord. Maybe you just think it's irrelevant and you've switched off long ago. You want to fight. Zechariah the priest wanted to fight God by asking him questions. It's a common response today. But what about these shepherds? I think what they're most likely to do in their natural state is to try and fight. As I say, they've got a job to do. They've got to guard the sheep. They've got to look after each other. They're already insignificant nobodies. This might be an opportunity to show that they're worth something. Maybe we should push toward this angel and try and fight it and beat it off. But they don't. In fact, they don't get an opportunity at this point to do anything because they get something that Mary doesn't get, Joseph doesn't get, Zechariah doesn't get. They get something special. They get the host of heaven showing up to tell them some more stuff. It says there in verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Here's these insignificant shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. This angel has shown up, given them a message, and suddenly the army of Almighty God is in heaven. Just a numberless army of angels. This is the elite force, the SAS of heaven. This is God's heavenly host that have been there, that have been armored up, swords sheathed, perhaps bows and arrows, some of them. They were there ready to come to fight for God's purposes. My word, if you weren't frightened yet, you'd be frightened now. But they go on with this message of peace and good news. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The shepherds were looking out in fear. Then they looked up in wonder. And now they look forward in obedience. Look at verse 15 to 17. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. The order is really important here. They were looking out in fear. Then they look up in wonder. And now they look forward in obedience. In the midst of life, with all of its fears and its circumstances, we need to locate ourselves in the midst of a God who is Savior, Christ, and Lord, and then move forward. In the midst of life and all its fears and circumstances, we need to locate ourselves in the midst of a God who is Savior, Christ, and Lord, and then move forward. May I submit to you this morning that some of you are paralyzed by fear this morning. You don't know which way to turn. You don't know which way to go. You don't know whether to go to see the doctor, a counselor, whether to talk about it with a friend. You don't know what to do here, there, or everywhere. Have you located yourself in the midst of a God who this morning is calling out to you to be your Savior, Christ, and Lord? Then you can move forward. You can't, and you never will, until you do that. These men, these shepherds, have gone now from being insignificant lowlife to worshippers of the Most High God. And a worshipper of the Most High God, regardless of status, regardless of wealth or health, regardless of position or whatever, a worshipper of the Most High God worships by moving forward under God's leading. And so in verse 15, as we read, the shepherds go. In verse 16, we read that because they went, they find. And because they found what was promised to them, they tell. That's my prayer for you this Christmas. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, wherever you've been, that in the midst of life and all its fears and circumstances, that you would locate yourselves in the midst of a God who is Savior, Christ, and Lord, and then move forward. Seriously, I mean, do that right now. Right where you are this Christmas Eve, 2017. Respond in faith. Respond in faith. Right now, find the one who is promised to you as your Savior, your Christ, your Lord, and then move out and tell your family, your friends, your colleagues about this Jesus who loves you and came to this earth to die for you. Verse 18 says, all who heard what the shepherds said wondered. But Mary, verse 90, treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. But let's just look finally, briefly at verse 20, because I want to continue to focus, as we close now, on the shepherds. Look at them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. These new worshippers are totally overcome with love for God now. They're not frightened anymore because they're worshippers of Almighty God now. Worship of God takes away fear. I can say to you, you need to be a worshipper of God, but that may just sound like I'm adding another burden upon you. Oh, well, I'm not a worshipper of God. That makes me more anxious. That makes me more frightened. That makes me more scared. But I want you to see the angel, the word of God, the message of God coming to these people, these shepherds, that they're now, because they've become worshippers, they're able to locate themselves in the midst of a God who is Savior, Christ, and Lord, and the fear goes. They go and tell people what they've seen. It would have been no use, that angel saying, "Fear not," if the angel hadn't pointed them to the Savior. And there's no point in a preacher standing at the front of a church saying you've got to trust Jesus and worship him unless you see the Savior. Will you see the Savior this Christmas time? Will he be your Lord, your Christ, your King? Will you receive him gladly into your heart? Will you become a worshiper of him this morning? That's good news of great joy, not fear.